Happy holidays, Lightning Within 5 listeners.
Especially to all our deployed members, thank you all for your support throughout the year. We look forward to a better and brighter 2025 and wish you nothing but happiness and health. Welcome back, Lightning Within 5 listeners. I'm your host, Jennifer Jensen, alongside
Senior Airman Stefan Alvarez.
And today is our very late December episode. I don't know why we waited this long. Christmas is next week.
I know. It's just been
crazy.
Yeah, usually December's slow, and it's been pretty busy for us.
Yeah, it's been a weird month. Are you ready for the holiday?
I am.
Emotionally, mentally, physically?
Yes. not so much financially.
I hear that. I was talking to my 7-year-old son the other day, and he said, "Mommy, I feel like the UPS is more of Santa Claus than Santa Claus." And I was like, you're not wrong. Because everybody orders everything online now.
Yeah.
I came home the other day and there was a mountain of packages. And all I heard was my husband say, "Jennifer, what the heck are you doing?"
Are you just like chronically on Amazon?
Yes.
Buying stuff.
I also have a problem, like I'll wake up in the middle of the night.
Oh, you're one of those.
And start just scrolling random things, and then I order it and I wake up, you know, to a package and I'm like, when the heck did I order this? And I don't remember doing it, and I can't send it back, you know? Like, I wanted it subconsciously. I did it while I was sleeping.
Jeff Bezos' programming is successful on you.
But yeah, I might have a problem during the holidays. I always feel like I'm not ready. But we've come to terms with, like, we enjoy doing experiences more than physical gifts. You know what I mean? You'll get there. Your baby's still too little.
Yeah. I mean, December, January is always hard on the wallet because obviously Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
But then my mom's birthday is on the 3rd of January. My sister's birthday is on the 4th of January. My dad's birthday is on the 16th of January.
My God.
And my wife's birthday is on the 26th of January.
Oh my gosh. So you're super poor. Yeah. In January.
By February, I'm ready for that tax return.
Yeah. I always forget about tax return.
Yep.
Like, everything's going to be okay. I get my tax return in a month or two. It'll be fine. Okay, what's your favorite part about the holidays? Specifically Christmas.
Specifically Christmas. Definitely not decorating.
Ooh, yeah, no.
Sarah loves decorating because she likes making, you know, the house look festive and all that. And
yeah,
she's dying for us to, we haven't done it yet, but put all the lights and Christmas stuff outside the house.
You haven't put out outdoor lights?
No.
You dirtbag.
I don't have enough outdoor lights to put on my house. And B, I don't have a ladder to put lights on my house.
Okay, fine. I'll leave you alone if you don't have a ladder. But you could just do like the tiny sliver of lights with the Grinch pulling them, like he's stealing them. Smart. You're looking at me like, absolutely not. What's wrong with you?
Stop trying to find work for me at home.
That's it. I'm texting your wife. I do not like the decorating aspect. Obviously, everybody knows I'm a Halloween person. Christmas makes me, ugh. I just feel yucky.
Like all the happiness and joy. And
yeah. Like I love playing into like the magical side of it, right, for my son. But my daughter's 13 now, and she knows Santa's not real. But other than just like living up to my son's expectations of the magic, there's nothing there for me. So, yeah, I might just take a 12-foot skeleton next year and put a Santa hat on it and call it a day and just leave it up all year, you know?
Yeah, that way after Christmas.
And then like decorate it with hearts for Valentine's Day and bunny ears for Easter.
When are you gonna break the news to Grant?
Ooh, no. That's not my job. I fully thought that my daughter would do that. Like, just get so mad at him one day. Oh, yeah? Well, Santa Claus isn't real. No, she is such a good big sister. She hypes it up. She even plays like little tricks on him. Like the other day, like last week, he wanted to give Santa cookies so that he would take his Christmas list. So Chloe went out, ate the cookies and drank the milk and took the list and hid it under her mattress to play into Grant. So
that's nice.
She's a wonderful big sister.
My sister did something similar for me. She would write like letters to me from Santa.
Aww.
And like, you know, decorate the letters and everything and like use sparkly like red or green ink or whatever.
What a good big sister. All right, enough about the holidays. We're not going to talk about the holiday food. We did that last episode. But the year is wrapping up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're on all these different platforms to listen to. Spotify, Apple Music. What else?
Amazon, iHeartRadio.
Everything. Anywhere you could listen to a podcast, that's where we are. Yeah, our fan club has informed us that we have made their top three Spotify Wrapped list. We're top three, Alvarez.
Those poor souls.
They have to listen to our voice every day. We appreciate it. We love y'all. Our numbers have gotten crazy. We completely forgot that we hit our 1 year mark, our 1 year anniversary last month. So happy anniversary to us.
Yeah.
We've been doing this for a whole year. That's crazy.
We're on season two.
Yeah. So thank you everybody for supporting us and making this successful. And we love the fan mail that we get. Maybe not so much of the creepy stalking on social media, but the fan mail for sure. And shout out to Diana Jensen because she is the top fan of this podcast and she listens to every episode and texts me about it and tells me how much she loves me and Alvarez and what a good job we're doing. So I love you, Diana. Yeah, so we're going to keep trucking. Alvarez has one more month with us.
One more month.
Like, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do?
You got to carry the torch. You got to keep
it going.
I've
been carrying the torch. What are you talking about? Oh, boy. Yeah. So next episode will be all about Alvarez. I plan on embarrassing him thoroughly, just so everybody's tracking that.
Great. Can't wait. So excited.
As for Tyndall, we do plan on giving you guys a full wrap up next episode of like the highlights of 2024 and what's coming for 2025, such as rebuild. Like, what buildings do we plan on seeing in 2025 complete? Lodging, the marina, I believe.
Dorms.
The dorms. That'll be really exciting. I'm excited for the airmen for that. Just seeing them in a brand new space that nobody has ever touched before, that's fantastic. I get excited about that. What would you have done had you moved into a brand new dorm building?
Well, my first and only dorm experience was Lackland in the moldy dorms.
Oh.
Like, I remember I went.
Wait, a basic?
No.
Oh.
Lackland was my first duty station.
Oh, that's right. I forgot that.
Yeah. Yeah, so after basic, went to tech school, came right back.
Ew. That's terrible.
But I remember one time I went TDY. It was a little bit of a longer TDY. I think it was almost a month. And when I came back, like, I had a bunch of hats on shelves that all had mold on them. Opened up my closet, a bunch of my clothes I had hanging had mold on them.
Stop it!
Like, I had to throw so much of my clothes away because I came back and they're all molded.
What?
Yep.
How does that happen? Like, Texas isn't that humid.
I have no idea.
That's crazy. Oh, I would have been so mad.
Yep.
Gross.
It's, you know, nothing was wrong with the room. Like, it wasn't like a water leak. Like, there wasn't any AC issues. Like, I have no idea. I just came back and all my stuff was moldy.
Ew. So my favorite dorm story to tell is I moved in, like, first time out living by myself, right? The dorm manager just like opened the door and he was like, all right, see ya. I was like, what the heck? Like, I felt lost. Like, what do I do with my hands? So So I started unpacking and I smelled something weird and I was like, okay. And I lifted up the mattress. There is a piece of cheese underneath my mattress.
A little surprise for you. A little welcome home gift from the
moldy cheese
from the last resident. That's diabolical.
It was bad. And then I asked for a new mattress because the mold had seeped up into the mattress. It had been there that long. First of all, how do you not smell that? Whoever lived in that dorm room before me, how do you not recognize that smell? It was gross.
I'm no detective, but I have a feeling that might have been done on purpose.
Okay.
Like when they were moving out.
Okay. Maybe. But
I don't
anyway.
Know, I don't know anybody who would just be like,
cheese.
Yeah, let me put my let me keep my cheese under my bed for a late night snack. Like, maybe there's people out there like that. I don't know. But
or maybe it was like some drunk shenanigans and somehow, I don't know. Anyway, the cheese debacle happened. And then the first night, I turned the lights off to go to sleep and I heard, I can't even make the sound, like rustling. And I was like, oh my God, what is that? I thought it was like some mouse, right? So I freaked out. I was like, oh my God, no. So I turned the lights on. I promise you, when I tell you, a cockroach was hugging my toothbrush, literally wrapped around my toothbrush bristles. I was like, oh my God, no. So I didn't know that turning the lights on would keep them away. I turn it off again, more little like, I was like, oh, sweet Mary and Joseph, what do I do?
You were on their turf.
Yeah, with the cheese. That was their shrine, and I was laying on their shrine of moldy cheese. Yeah, so I had to sleep with the lights on in my room because I told dorm management, and they were like, okay, we'll send somebody. Nobody came.
That's awesome.
The roaches never left.
Love that.
Mm-hmm.
Did you make friends with them?
No, I just slept with the lights on and put roach traps literally bordering my entire room. It was bad. Yep. And we need not say what base that was. I think everybody's figured that out by now. Good days. Those are the good days. Last weekend, we had Operation Jolly Jingle. I think that's the first time we called it that, but it was great. It was for the kiddos. They had Santa towed in on a F-35. Santa was looking mighty slim, though. Mm. He must hit up the Ozempic before he showed up, but it was great. The kids loved it. There was a Grinch there going around taking pictures. There was different craft stands for them to do a holiday craft. They could get their photo with Santa. There was a bounce house, and there was a breakfast bar, essentially, so they could eat breakfast with Santa. It was great. I love when we do events for the kids because they go through so much emotionally, physically, moving all the time. So I'm glad that we pinpoint the kiddos. Let's talk about the new year. What are you excited for the upcoming new year?
Getting out of the Air Force.
Wow.
And getting my new civilian job.
We're not talking about that because I'm not emotionally ready for that yet. So what else? What's your goal for the new year?
That's not related to...
Yeah, that's not related with you leaving this place.
My goal... Well, I want to finish getting my public adjuster license.
What?
Yeah.
Like insurance?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm taking the course to get my license.
Okay.
So I can do that on the side.
Okay.
And who knows, you know, if I do that and get good at it and start making, you know, more money than I do normally, I'd probably just switch to doing that full time.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's probably the biggest one for me.
Okay. I'm super cliche and I have vowed to myself that I'm going to eat right. You won't be here to force me to go to terrible lunch decisions. And I just want to feel better.
And don't pin your poor choice of food on me because I always ask you what you want to eat, what you're in the mood for.
Alvarez is my unofficial lunch partner because we're always working on things and we're like, okay, we need to go eat. And normally it's not the best of choices, but since he's leaving, I have nobody. So I can eat at my desk a lonely salad and feel like a rabbit.
There you go.
Great. Yeah.
You're welcome for leaving.
your leaving is going to emotionally hurt me, but physically I'm going to be better.
It'll balance out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your pillars will remain intact.
Our guests who will be on after the break are first sergeants. Did you ever feel the urge to become a first sergeant?
I feel like if I got far enough in my career, you know, got to the rank like tech sergeant, master sergeant,
yeah,
I probably would.
Really?
Yeah. A lot of my job satisfaction comes from
helping.
Yeah, others. helping the other airmen and stuff.
Yeah.
So I feel like that would have been a good.
So we'll learn a little bit more about what the first sergeants do, how the process goes to become one, and all things first sergeant after the break. Stick around.
This episode of Lightning Within 5 is brought to you by the 325th Fighter Wing Public Affairs Shop. For all the latest news, photos, videos, and more, check out our Facebook page, Instagram, and our official website at tyndall.af.mil.
Welcome back, Lightning Within 5 listeners. We are here with our special guests. Today we have Senior Master Sergeant Matt Brewer and Master Sergeant Josh Gott. Welcome to the show, fellas.
Hey, Jan. Thanks for having us.
Okay, so today you're here not as just senior NCOs, you're here as first sergeants. So we're going to talk a little bit about what it's like doing that. Like, why would you do that? Because the reputation of first sergeants is not as shiny.
Whoa, wait.
Hold on.
Sounds like a personal opinion or attack.
As a prior airman, Alvarez, am I wrong? First
sergeant?
Sounds
like a prior troubled airman, yeah, is what you're telling us.
No, I had BTZ. I was a stellar airman, first of all. And I assume other airmen coordinate it with first sergeants are like the assistant principals of a school. Like, if you get called to the first sergeant's office, you're probably on the naughty list.
Okay, that's fair.
I'll argue that is more of an old school thought process because we're no longer the disciplinarians.
Okay.
That culture has changed.
Yeah.
We're more of a, you know, does it mean we're not part of the disciplinary action process? No. We'll be part of that. However, we're more of an advocate for the airmen.
Nice. See, this is why you're here, to clarify all the rumors and bad juju revolving around y'all.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's get into why. Let's go. Sergeant Gott, you go first. Why did you want to be a first sergeant?
Okay, so I guess originally I had no desire to be a first sergeant. I was at Ellsworth when I started filling the role. Like, we were very undermanned at first sergeants. My chief asked me to sit in the seat, so I begrudgingly said I would. And I was in there for about 7 months, and I really started really enjoying doing it, like helping airmen. The job security or job satisfaction went through the roof that I didn't know I was lacking.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it came time for me to go back and be a section chief in MUNS, I just didn't want to. So I pushed the button to go. A large part of that is that I didn't know the team around you as a shirt is just phenomenal. Like the relationships we build together and how we interact with each other. It's hard to walk away from that because it's not common in a lot of the career fields we have. So that's kind of what did it for me.
What about you, Sergeant?
That was pretty good. That's pretty good. Mine was, I had a horrible first sergeant. My first sergeant was horrible.
Gotcha.
He was about, and I told the story before, he went about 300 pounds and about 6'2". So you can picture that, right?
Right.
Not a very skinny Air Force fella.
Yeah.
And I watched him pull his blues out of a desk drawer to put them on to give somebody disciplinary action or fail PT test. So I wanted nothing to do with being a first sergeant. And then I got a good one. My next first sergeant was phenomenal. And he was not only phenomenal as a first sergeant, but just as a person, as a senior NCO. And he mentored me a little bit and said, hey, I think this is perfect for you. And I had the opportunity, and I truly wanted to give back to airmen and fight for airmen.
Because
I'd seen lots of things where they were wronged, right? Or where the system kind of didn't stick up for them. And I thought, I can help that. And I can advocate and mentor and coach people into the right path instead of what we've seen in the past.
Yeah.
So when I got the opportunity, I jumped all over it.
I love that. That happens for a lot of people. Like, they see the really, really bad, and then they see what that should be, that role should look like, and that, you know, influences them to be a better person or a better, you know, employee. So I love that story. Okay.
I made it all up. So
it's perfect. Yes.
Saw a movie about it.
Yeah.
It was Die Hard. I don't know.
Oh my God. Just so everybody's aware, like, you need to brace yourself for this episode. These two are jokers.
Should be a warning at the very beginning.
Disclaimer.
Small children.
They promised earmuffs. They would edit it, so we're good.
Okay, so how long have you been a shirt Sarngat?
Coming up, I think I hit 3 years next month.
And is that like a termed position? Like you can only do it for so long, or can you do it till you retire?
Yeah, we have 4 years, and then you can ask for an extension. Actually, a year of my 3 years, I was prior to. I'm just counting that, and but 2 years as a Diamond, yeah. But typically, it's 4 years for us on the active duty side.
So I'm an oddity in the sense that I wouldn't say oddity. I'm a superhero because I'm guard.
So oh, okay.
I've been a shirt, Diamond wearing shirt for almost 6 years.
Wow.
And I had to get an extension to do that. I'm down here on a stat tour, so I'm the first sergeant over at First Air Force, AFNORTH.
Oh, gotcha.
So in doing that, I had to get an extension, will last, I'll be a shirt just under 8 years when it's all said and done.
The role is still the same, even if you're a guard.
Same job, same role.
Okay.
People are people.
Okay.
It's probably harder. I think it's harder for them, maybe just because we're so unknowledgeable in all the little requirements, because there's like all kinds of specifics of like what status you're in determines a lot for them. I mean, it's just, it's difficult.
Yeah.
It makes a challenge, especially as a traditional guardsman, right? So you see your folks once a month.
Right.
1 week in a month.
Yeah.
Yet you still have the same responsibilities of taking care of those airmen and trying to see signs of issues going on and all those things, but you see them once a month.
Yeah.
So it makes it very challenging to build those relationships and trust, right? Because nobody's going to come to you if they don't trust you.
Yeah.
You have to build those in 2 days.
Wowzers.
And if you're going to be effective, you got to be really good at that.
Right.
So clearly there's more time spent the rest of the month where you're still making those connections off the clock.
Right.
Per se.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot easier for Sarngat. Like he used to be our shirt and he was around all the time. So he probably got sick of us, especially Peter.
We talked about that. Actually,
just kidding. I love.
That's what I would say too if I was sitting in front of her. Yeah. However, comma.
Okay, so what is your favorite part of being a shirt?
Selfishly, it's the satisfaction I get from helping people.
Yeah,
I think that's
selfish.
Yeah, I mean, I love problem solving. Like that's a big part of it. I like taking problems that other people can't solve and being the guy who can fix it.
That's it.
You get so much satisfaction from helping everyone.
Nice. What about you, Sarnberger?
It's celebrating the wins.
Yeah.
Right. This job can be very difficult because we're here for people during their worst times and their best times. And we talk about as a team a lot, celebrate those wins, be excited about things. Great examples. We just had 3 new selectees for First Sergeant within the wing. We were able as a team to go over and notify them with the command chief. That was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
To see the excitement on their face. Remember what we felt like when we got notified. It's a pretty big deal. And it can be the little things. Hey, my kid, got the winning goal in soccer.
Yeah.
Could be something that, on that side of it, or it could be they just got BTC.
Right.
So it's celebrating all those big wins. Like that energizes me.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of shirts would probably be the same.
Okay. So in that same sense, what's your least favorite part of being a shirt?
I love it all. Like not to be generic, I love it all. But nobody likes doing the difficult, the hard part, like the punishment side, like all that. So I think if you have the right approach to it, you're not there to, like, yes, you're gonna make sure the process is right and everything, but the main job that I take with that is to get them through it and back on track. Because at the end of the day, that's your goal, is to return them to some kind of duty that's appropriate, to learn from that mistake and get them going forward, not let that be the thing that pushes them out or is, makes them want to get out, like, we're here to get you back on track.
Yeah.
I agree with that. The hardest part is the deaths, the things that, the bad things that go on with your airmen, because you can't help but take a piece of that with you.
Yeah.
Because when you truly care about people, you don't just empathize with them and sympathize with them, but you take that on.
Yeah.
And it's something I think all of us, anybody that's wearing the Diamond at all, that carries on throughout the rest of their career and the rest of their life.
Yeah.
Those are the hard things when you get a call, hey, you just lost a member.
Yeah.
Or you get a call from a member, I just lost a family member.
Yeah.
That's tough. It's tough. And the disciplinary side, it sucks to see somebody, going through that, because whether they committed an offense and they deserve that disciplinary action or not, they're still going through it.
Yeah.
And it sucks either way.
Yeah.
Right. And just trying to make sure that you're there to support them, to get them through that process, to get them, on some sort of track, whether it be on the civilian side or still in the military, rehabbed into whatever they need to be rehabbed into. That sucks. That's hard.
Yeah. I love that. So, ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here first. The shirts do not like being the bad guys.
No. Well, we kind of talked about it briefly, right? In the beginning of this, we're not the disciplinary.
Yeah.
But, back in the day.
Back in the day.
I came in.
Does that date me? Yeah.
I came in 18 years ago, and 18 years ago, the first sergeant was the one in there.
Laying the law down.
If you get called in the first sergeant's office, it was a bad thing.
Yeah.
Now, if you get called in the first sergeant's office, we may be calling you in to congratulate you on something. Mm-hmm. Maybe there to, hey, we want to help you, mentor you, whatever it may be. It's not necessarily disciplinary action. Don't be scared.
Love that.
No, God looks scary. I don't look scary, but you look scary.
That's fair. It's a shift in culture, I think, because I mean, back in, like, not to date myself, but like back in the day, if you went to the first sergeant's office, I don't think I had a conversation with my first sergeant until I was like a tech sergeant. Like,
weren't
available to us the way that I think we as a whole are now, which is great. Yeah.
Yeah. You guys are always around. Every time I turn around, our shirt, Sergeant Cather, is literally there. And I'm like,
sorry about that,
bro.
That's unfortunate for you, but yes.
Okay, so explain to people, like, what is the process to becoming a first sergeant? Like, you put in an application?
Yeah.
And then?
That's changed a ton, and it changes, like, almost per cycle. Yeah. When I did it, it was pretty much this, hey bro, want to do this? Here, fill out this form and get selected. Now there's a lot of stuff in place. Like, you have to do a psych eval.
That's right.
You have to meet with boards of experienced first sergeants to get a feel for you. I think it's great that we're putting more emphasis on making sure that we pick up the right people.
Right.
And people who can handle 4 years of this job. So definitely a big step in the right direction there.
And that's that shift of culture, right? So instead of, it used to be, you know, you were voluntold, hey, you're gonna be a first sergeant. I know when I went through the academy, I had REGAF folks in there with me that were voluntold. One in particular did not want to be there. He was very vocal about it. So imagine the damage he can do to a unit.
Yeah.
That individual goes to a unit, doesn't want to be there in the first place. Are they really going to put in the effort to gain the trust and respect from their folks and get them to come talk to them when they're having problems? Of course not.
Yeah.
So I think that's a big shift that's changed. You know, the psyche valve that freaks people out, there's a reason for it.
Right.
So that we're not putting people in a position that's going to be detriment to them.
Right.
Outside of hurting a unit, what about them? Right.
Yeah.
Personally, if they're struggling with things already, you know, if you have your own issues going on, how do you help everybody else?
Yeah.
It's really hard to do that.
And you guys go to a special school, right? First Sergeant?
First Sergeant Academy.
Yeah.
So Brewer was actually an instructor at First Sergeant Academy. So
well, that's pretty cool. Where's that at?
Maxwell.
Okay.
It's in Alabama, just north of here.
Yeah.
At Montgomery.
Close by.
It's a city in Alabama.
How long is it?
4 weeks.
Oh, that's not terrible.
No, it's great.
Okay. And then after you come back from the academy, do you get to pick what squadron you go to, or you're just thrown?
No. No, that's a burden that lies mainly with the command chief, along with advisement from the senior shirts.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a command chief's program.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the command chief has a lot of different areas to look at, a lot of different things. Where do I need the experience at? Where are we struggling in areas as far as organizations? You know, what's a good fit?
Right.
Personality doesn't always come into it, but there are times where I think that could be a deciding factor. This person will link up really good with this command team.
Yeah.
Or they won't.
Right.
So it's pretty awesome.
Okay. And you guys are, yes, you are mingling with the airmen. You're caring for them. But you're also doing like bigger scope things, like we were just talking off air about your Angel Tree. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, Angel Tree is an awesome program that most First Sergeant Councils do. Essentially, we just, you know, we have airmen every year. We have airmen who are struggling financially. It's just one resource we have to throw a Christmas tree up in the BX, hang the angels on the tree for people to take, purchase gifts for them, and just give airmen, maybe take a little stress off them during the holidays, provide some gifts that they may not be able to afford at the time.
Love that. And you did that with Thanksgiving too, right? You guys did like a whole Thanksgiving meal for some airmen that are struggling.
Yeah. And Operation Warm Heart is another council that is within the First Sergeant Council. And that's where a lot of that's coming from. We have fundraisers and stuff. But yeah, the turkey drop thing was Winn-Dixie sponsored it. We gave, 100 turkeys?
Like 100, yeah.
100 turkeys. And then one of the local, you know, this is where you reach out to your local resources. North Star Church, just off base, they donated all the sides.
Oh,
so, so our airmen that received this, they got a full holiday meal.
That's amazing.
It's pretty awesome.
That's really nice. And in order to help the airmen on base, you also have to work with a bunch of different agencies besides first sergeants to accomplish certain tasks, correct?
Yep,
that's correct.
So what are some of the agencies that y'all normally work with?
Oh, MFRC does a lot for us, whether it's financial counseling. I think they're underutilized. They have a ton 100%. Of awesome awesome learning opportunities for airmen that I wish more people would go to. So I always direct people there, for especially for the financial piece. I think we have some good people in there that are very helpful. The IRO office here is pretty great, that run kind of like the CAT programs. They do a lot, and I think we have a lot of great people that sit on the CAT and all of those organizations that are involved in it.
And that's kind of the thing with First Sergeants. We're a resource.
Yeah.
And so when airmen come to us with X problem, you know, we go, okay, let's go to our bag of tricks here. Let's figure out who needs to get involved to help solve this issue. If it's financial, boom, we go here. If it's legal, we go here.
Yeah.
Because you can add all those helping agencies, JA, security forces, OSI, all those folks we interact with regularly.
Yeah.
We built relationships with them so we can call them, hey, we have a question.
Yeah.
Can we pick your brain on something? You know, yeah. I call JA on a regular basis. Hey, if an airman such as this was to do this, what's the train of thought on that?
Yeah.
Before we actually get into it.
Okay.
And that's just on base. Off base, we deal with multiple agencies also.
Yeah.
The Sheriff's Department.
Yeah. Our First Aid Society is a big one we use a lot.
Yeah. First Aid Society.
Military One Source, super helpful.
Fisher House.
Fisher House, big one we've been using a lot lately.
People forget about Fisher House, but that's one that they've been phenomenal.
They've came through big for us.
Huge for our airmen. Yeah, we've had airmen that are dealing with whatever issues, and they've picked up hotel bills. They've helped with travel. You know, when they're struggling with, you know, they've got a loved one that's going for some sort of issue, a treatment medically.
Yeah, medical.
They step up. So even if there's not there's no Fisher House connection here necessarily,
right?
We have that connection.
That's amazing. I thought there had to be like a physical presence for Fisher House.
It's right here. It's awesome.
Wow, that's
us. We're
so
the physical
cool.
presence. And working with other
counties. We have Fisher House resources down towards Eglin. I can't remember her name.
That's the other thing is we deal with councils outside of Pendle.
Yeah.
We went in September, August timeframe. We went and met with Herbert, Eglin, and Duke Field, their councils. Mm-hmm. We all sat down combined to say, hey, let's chop it up with some different issues we're seeing, what you're seeing, and some how are you handling it, how are we handling it, just to make our council stronger. And if we're stronger, then we're going to support our airmen.
Yeah, and essentially making you guys better shirts.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Sure.
That's great. Love that. So how does the Air Force Aid Society work? Like, I know that they help you out financially, but like how, if an airman is struggling, how would they go about getting help?
Oh, it's very easy. Just go to afas.org. They'll show you some of the requirements, the minimum requirements to get, like if you may get the loan or the zero interest loan or just a, what do you call it?
A grant.
A grant. Yeah.
Okay.
And it's just a very easy application process.
Okay.
Yeah. But it takes a little bit sometimes.
Yeah. Sometimes.
So there's times where we'll do a concurrent. We'll start with Air Force Aid Society and then we'll reach out to Fisher. Hey, we have this going on. They could get this, but we don't know yet, depending on the complexity of the situation.
Okay. Yeah. So many organizations out there that can help you through. We were talking to Rebecca and she was telling us about, you know, Military One Source. Like a lady called about a tree that fell over in her yard and they helped her with the tree, getting rid of the tree. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Who would think to call Military One Source for that?
Well, and there's
that's
other
a new
times.
One for me. I did not know.
Yeah.
and there's other times deployed members, right?
Oh, yeah.
So when's something going to break? Yeah. When you're deployed or TDY.
Yeah, 100%.
So, your significant other or family's at home, something goes wrong, that's another thing. We can reach out to local resources and potentially get them help.
Yeah.
Whether it be a plumber or whatever it is. Maybe it's just connecting the dots to that plumber or whatever specialty agency is, but we can do that kind of stuff.
As, I'm going to say this nicely, seasoned senior NCOs.
There you go. I like that. That's PA skill right there.
Salt and pepper.
What would be like your biggest piece of advice? Maybe something that you took away from your time as an airman or something that you've learned as a shirt. What would be your biggest piece of advice for current airmen?
Oh, find mentors outside of your immediate chain of command. I think getting that extra perspective from other areas that you may not be familiar with is very helpful as a shirt for sure, because most of us come from different backgrounds. And the big reason we usually don't go back into the squadrons that we came from, like as a MUNS troop, I'm probably not going to be a shirt at a MUNS squadron.
Yeah.
It's to get different perspectives. So I think that getting mentorship from outside of your immediate chain, your immediate supervisor is pretty beneficial. And then networking is huge. I mean, obviously for us, that's a big thing. And there's nothing says like that an airman can't network the same way we do. You can get together with your airmen local. There's tons of avenues for you to touch base with airmen and other organizations and get involved in those situations. That'd be huge. That's my
Yeah. I think mine is, we're a profession of arms. And sometimes people forget that.
Yeah.
Get really good at what you do.
Yeah.
You're an airman and you're an ex, AFSC. Get really good at that and then start getting, open up your sight picture to other things. Just like Sergeant Gotza. Don't just focus on, hey, I'm security forces. That's all I'm going to be for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Open up your aperture a little bit because you may be surprised of what the rest of the Air Force has going on. And there may be some really good opportunities for that. But the first thing is you got to get really good at what you do first. Be good at one thing and then focus the other things. And like you said, reach out to, we've got multiple organizations on this base, airman organizations. Become a part of them.
Yeah.
Get out there and start networking with other airmen. Yes. And that's when you start opening the aperture even more and you go, whoa, I didn't know that finance did this.
Right.
Or whatever it may be. And it just makes you better so that when you become an NCO, senior NCO, you're a little better versed in the Air Force and not just in your career field.
Love that. That was really good. Really good advice.
Rehearsed it in the shower this morning.
Did you?
I was singing a little bit too. Yeah.
Christmas carols.
Yeah. DMX Christmas carols.
Yeah, of course.
Do you guys have holiday plans? Do you have to like linger around base or can you leave?
Oh, no,
we're never allowed to leave. It's really weird. You get the diamond, they're like, you don't get to leave the base. I'm like, oh, okay, cool.
No, we do. It just takes a little extra coordinating. I'm going home. I'm from Tennessee. I'm going back home to spend time with family, and I'm throwing my phone at one of my undershirts and running away. So
nice.
Yeah.
We utilize additional duty first sergeants, and that's NCOs, tech sergeant or senior NCOs that go to a week-long course that we put on here or it's put on across the country, and they get kind of a crash course of what first sergeanting. I'll make up that word.
Is that a word? Okay.
I just said it. It has to be. Right? So, what is this, English class? Yeah.
Drank too much.
That's right. Too much water. So we pass the phone off to them. They kind of cover down for us. So it gives us the ability to leave. Yeah, I'm sticking around. I'm staying local.
Okay.
For this Christmas season. So.
And Sergeant Brewer, have you always been at Tyndall, like for your 8 years?
No. So I'm a Michigan Guardsman. So
what?
Yeah. Awesome, right? Go Blue.
So wait, like, does your family live down here with you?
Yeah, they do. So I'll give you.
I don't understand guard world at all.
Yeah, same.
Let me give you a little piece of that. So, I was a traditional guardsman in Michigan.
Right? Okay.
Applied for what's called a STAT tour. It's a developmental tour that you can apply for.
Okay.
You put in a whole package, then you board with a panel. They make a selection on the position. There's multiple positions throughout the country.
Okay.
There happened to be a first sergeant position open here at First Air Force. I applied for it, boarded. It's a full PCS. They selected me. Crazy. No one was more surprised than I was when I got selected.
They just threw
but they were like, oh, we got to do something.
Yeah.
Selected me. So there was a full PCS. Moved my family from Michigan down here. Been here for a year.
So technically, you're active duty right
Title
now?
Title 10. Title 10, yes, ma'am.
Okay.
So I will be for, it's a 2 to 4 year tour.
Okay.
I'll be here for 4 years.
Okay.
And then at that point, I would revert back to my state.
Oh.
Or I apply for another position somewhere within the DOD,
gotcha.
Air Force, and to wherever that is.
Man, the guard world is so confusing.
Yeah, it is.
Right?
Really.
It is the best kept secret in the world. And I tell people that and they laugh at me, but I'm getting the same benefits as you guys are getting Title 10, and I'm Title 10, right?
Yeah.
But I can always move back home if I want to. And in 4 years, that's it. I get to choose where I go. In the 18 years I've been in, I spent all at Selfridge, just north of Detroit. First 8 years, I was AGR, Active Guard and Reserve. So Title 32, but you're getting the same benefits as active duty, right? But and I deployed and did all the things, but I always came home.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool. There's no PCS concerns on that side of it. So it's. I tell people all the time, if you're getting, leaving REGAF, look at Guard and Reserve because it's a great option to continue serving if that's
Alvarez.
That's where you're at. We'll talk offline, Alvarez.
Yeah. Alvarez is leaving
Don't
me
drink
next
the
month.
Kool-Aid. It's better here.
The Kool-Aid is super sugary and awesome. Let me tell you.
Alvarez is leaving me next month.
Oh, no. Who's replacing him?
All my other TV airmen.
Gotcha. Everybody else.
So we're just going to run through them and see how they do. I'm kind of scared. Yeah. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. Got could come over and support.
Yeah, let me do it.
After this, we might both be doing it. I don't know. It's
gonna be a you're just going to kick me off my own podcast?
Well, you can still show up and set things up. I mean,
wow.
That's cool.
That, no, no, no.
I don't know how to do all this.
I'm going to just give you the equipment and be like, here you go. Figure it out.
Just plug it in.
Have
we're
fun.
Not those guys. Yeah. I don't think.
But we have the resources to find those
exactly.
guys.
There you go.
Perfect. No, I'm taking your PA resource away now. Well, thank you both so much for explaining all things for shirt. Probably not all things, but most important close. Things. Yeah. And stopping by and being on the podcast. We appreciate it.
No, thanks for having us. We really appreciate this. I'm an avid listener, so I appreciate what you
what?
Guys are doing.
Yeah. No, I appreciate the opportunity. It's always good to have the ability to get out and be heard by airmen, maybe change their perception of what we do. Because it could change somebody's idea of what their future plans are. I mean, go, hey, I might want to do that one day. Just from hearing Got Talk.
Yeah, it's not likely.
Okay, maybe, probably not. So scratch that last part.
All right, Lightning Within 5 listeners, we'll see you next time.